What you have cause to affect in your fellow man is what declares your place in heaven. I was actually taken to a school where guardian angels are taught to be guardian angels, if that makes sense.
I feel like you had a psychedelic experience, but it seems like maybe they're one and the same. I don't know.
To know that you are sacred is not to see new things in you, but to see yourself as you really are.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Amy Robbins, and welcome to Life, Death, and the Space Between. As you know, in season 6, I am back to my roots, really digging in and exploring everything that brought me to the podcast. And today is no different. I am talking with Stephen Chong. Stephen is an Australian-based author who draws his inspiration in his books from themes that relate to us all: love, grief, struggle, and overcoming obstacles. His newest book, The Afterlife, A Journey To, is out now, and we are going to talk today about the different levels of the afterlife, how he came to know them, and what that can teach us about how to live. So welcome, Stephen.
Oh, Dr. Amy, it's very good to be with you.
Let's get started with just talking a bit about the afterlife and how you came to understand the different levels of the afterlife and what you talk about here in this book.
Oh, Amy, it's been an amazing journey. What happened just on 4 years ago now, I had a spiritual awakening experience or near-death experience. I fell off a ladder hit the ground about 15 foot. I fell off a roof and fractured my neck. And in the period of rehabilitation, I had the title of the book going around in my head. And just by way of background, I'd shut down from – prior to that, I'd shut down from the writing process, and I'm done. You know, I'm in my mid-60s, I'm retiring, I'm going to plant tomatoes in the garden. but the, you say, I'm on in this period of rehabilitation, I'm good for nothing, but this title is going around in my head. And I knew what it was. I knew it was the universe saying, Stephen, there's – more for you to do. And I totally resisted. I said, I'm done. I'm finished. Leave me alone. But eventually I've acquiesced. I said, okay, I'm in. It was, you know, one of those itches you had to scratch, irresistible. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, I'm in. I'll write this book. But the afterlife, what do I know? I know nothing.
And you had been on a spiritual path before you fell off this ladder.
Yes, I would say so, yes. I've been a very fortunate man in such regard. But what this accident brought me to was a point of choice. I could have said, no, I'm done, leave me alone. But thank the gods that I did say yes, because the learning and the knowledge, the experience has been such a profound one from a life learning point of view that I'm ever grateful for the experience. But I must tell you that what happened, as soon as I was able to sit down in front of the computer and start to write, the revelations were totally extraordinary. I saw the colours, heard the music, and the dialogue was like first person. I'm taking dictation. I'm writing. I'm being shown all of this wonderful information. And I was doing my best to transcribe what I saw and heard.
So you were basically just channeling everything about the afterlife.
Yes. When I started, it was a complete leap of faith. I had no storyboard. I had no character. No, nothing. I just sat, and it was like tuning in with a radio dial. You know, I cut off all external things that buzz and beep at you, so no external interruptions. And I trusted implicitly that whatever was to come would be there. And honestly, it never failed me. Never once. Every time I sat, the next part would come forth. And the way I describe it was like being on a train ride, you know, a scenic railway tour of the heavenly realms. I'm seeing through this character's eyes, and he's showing me all these different parts of the heavenly realms, which I did my best to describe.
So what made you make the book fiction versus nonfiction? Because it sounds in many ways like it could have just been a channeled text of the afterlife, like what I was shown happens in the afterlife.
Yes, it's a very profound question, and one that I've mused over considerably. Amy, the best I can describe it is the story that come out is one that enables a reader to have a completely subjective experience of the heavenly realms. You know from your many other guests that people have NDEs, and they describe what they see, and they're profound experiences. But from a reader's point of view, it's objective. They're looking at someone else having this experience and going, oh, that's cool, you know, that's interesting, whatever. But in this case, as one reads the book, it becomes a subjective experience. So you read the book and you can look at it from the different levels and go, look at it literally and go, oh, okay, that's good, that's bad, that's rubbish, or whatever you think. So it's at that first level. You could look at a deeper level, the allegories, the stories, the fables. That's profound. But deeper than that, we experience the metaphysical, and that's the exploration where you laws, the universal laws and isms are revealed, which we can talk about later. But the profundity of the experience for me comes in at the mystical level, where a reader can look at the book and go, or read the book and say, oh, my goodness, that's me. That's my truth. So it's inner truth that gets revealed. And that I believe, is the reason why the book has been given in this form.
So help us see, or can you shed some light on the different levels that Alter, the character in the book, goes through on his journey? Like, what are those? I mean, I know we start with the passages, we move towards redemption, renewal. Can you talk us through what your experience was as you were writing this, what you were seeing as each of these levels, and how do we as humans pass through them? Like, what does this mean in terms of our own understanding of what happens when we die?
Oh, that's very interesting. I must tell you, Amy, what happened subsequent to finishing the book. It's about 3 months after the book had been drafted. And as you do in writing these things, you go into edit phase. And I've read it 100 times in edit. And those voices in my head said, "Stephen, you missed something. Read it again." I go, "What? What? Oh, okay." So I've read the book again, and it was like, you know, you've got when those highlighter pens, the highlighter markers. I read the book again. I saw these law, and I've called them the laws of heaven and earth. That was like reading it, and I saw them highlighted, and so I've written them down, and I've got to tell you, they have made such a profound difference to one's life. Quite extraordinary. I've been able to apply them. Yeah, again, I'm getting old now. I wish this had happened 50 years ago, but apply these laws to make life a far more profound and better place.
So can you tell us what some of those laws are? I just always like my listeners to have something to take away and apply in their everyday life.
Yeah. Well, I won't give you the whole 15, but let me pick one or two. Okay, here we go. Number 3, what you have cause to affect in your fellow man is what declares your place in heaven. And let me explain that one through what I saw. When we pass over, we pass through these, I saw them as profound mists, where one does a life review. So you look at all the things you've done in life. And what I saw was these souls exiting these mists, dressed in these robes, head-to-toe robes. Some of the robes were beautiful, white, shimmering, golden colours. But there were others, a darker Hessian brownie colours. And what I understand is as we go through the life review, these colours in the robes reflect where we go in the heavenly realms. So the lighter colours, the beautiful white colours, you go up into the higher realms, or the darker colours, you know, the brown Hessians, you obviously people have done some not so good things, you go down into let's call them lesser levels. That's what I saw.
So what are some of the experiences that you saw come through as people move into these heavenly realms?
Oh, my goodness. There were quite a number, but I must tell you, the one that stands out most profoundly is, and remember, for your listeners, I'm seeing through this main character's eyes. I'm seeing what he's seeing and hearing his dialogue, and he's taking me to these places. And one of the most, most of it was beautiful. But one of the places I was taken to was this building, a majestic building. And don't think like a house. This is Greco-Roman type architecture, marble, alabaster. And I'm with a guide and we walk into this building. And I've got to tell you, even now it gives me chills to think of it. The love that I felt in when I walked into this room was so profound. It was like being wrapped up in a warm blanket on a cold night.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, like, turn to this guy, what is this place? And what I saw were these angels, beautiful angelic beings, mostly blue robes and colour, and they were tending to these babes in arms, souls that have left the earth plane early, children that have died in infancy, were so beautifully loved in the heavenly realms by the angelic hosts. It was like just the love was so profound. And what I understand that every child, without exception, is so tended by the love of the Heavenly Father and brought to the prime of their spiritual well-being, spiritual health in this place. No child was left behind, even if the bond between the parent and the child was not was a bit fractious. Every soul, every child's soul is beautifully nurtured in the heavenly realms. That was just one of the majestic places I was taken to.
So you're, okay, I'm just trying to understand this. You're writing your book, channeling this information. It's coming through and you're seeing it through the eyes of this character in your book as you're writing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct. Absolutely correct.
And with that, what, okay, so you see the first stage is this alabaster building with these angelic beings that are taking in babies. What comes next?
Oh, my goodness, it was, there was quite a few. One of the other places that I was taken to was this huge arena. Like if you could imagine the Roman Colosseum, it was similar to that. And there were bells pealing in the background and they were summoning all these souls into this auditorium. And if you can imagine, just don't think the colours of the rainbow. This is 10 times these colours. Majestic colours in this arena, and I'm in the audience watching this thing going like, what the?
As you're working on your book?
Yeah, this is what I'm seeing and describing. Yes, and doing my best to describe what I'm seeing. So in the middle of the arena were these lounge chairs, recliner lounge chairs. And into the arena walked these seraph, and small cherub, angelic beings. And they have charge of each of the cherubs have charge of a decrepit soul, like they're malformed, disturbed, and they bring in this soul and place them on the lounge chairs. And this lounge chairs kind of wraps them, enfolds them into its care. And then into the arena walks this majestic angelic being, golden white robes. And he holds his hands up in the air. And he takes the energy, and like around in the auditorium, there's this om chant. So the whole audio, if you can picture the om sound reverberating.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes this energy and he sort of creates this magnetic ball, like a disco ball, if you will, in his hands. And out of this ball shines these laser lights straight into the soles on the loungers. And I'm sort of watching it, doing my best to describe. And then after a while, this angelic being, he sort of folds his hands. He's finished. He folds his hands up and exits. And then each soul on the lounge stands up and they are totally healed. They are renewed, back to prime. What I learnt after that, what I was told, was in this place, this healing arena, is where souls are relieved of burdens imposed by others. So in heaven, sins, if you will, imposed on you by others, you do not wear those burdens. You are relieved of those burdens, those sins.
Mm.
So if I do bad things to you to hurt you with intent, you do not bear the consequences of that. You are relieved of those burdens.
Okay, so this makes sense in terms of things that I've heard before with regards to a life review, that you don't experience necessarily, you as a soul who crosses over experiences life from the perspective of the people who you impacted, good or bad.
Yes, that's exactly how I saw it. Yes.
So what are the different levels? Like when we get there, wherever there is, do we first go to that room and heal? Do we start and have the life review, then go to the room, then? Like what are the...
That's a very good question. What I saw was after we've done this life review, we are robed in these colors that reflect what we've done. And that then determines where we go in the heavenly realms. So let me describe to you what one of the things that I saw. So I was standing on top of a hilltop and watching these souls exit these mists.
So you're standing on the hilltop in your mind's eye writing this book.
Correct. That's okay. Yeah. So these souls are exiting these mists in which the life review has occurred, and many are dressed in beautiful, shimmering, white, golden things, but others are dressed in dark, Hessian, not-so-good colours. What happens then, the colours of the robes determine the pathway one then follows. So what I saw was one particular soul, and she come out of these mists, and she was dressed in brown, dark, awful, not so good colours. And she tried to go upwards. She obviously had aspirations that exceeded her potential, but she wasn't able to. She had to follow a pathway that was uniquely hers. By virtue of what she had done in the earthly realm, she had to follow the pathway that she uniquely created for herself.
In the heavenly realm.
Correct. In the heavenly realms. Yes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay. So we get these robes after our life review. They're varying colors. I feel like you had a psychedelic experience, but it seems like maybe they're one and the same. I don't know.
Well, Amy, I have been asked that. I've never taken a drug in my life, apart from I enjoy a glass of wine. I wouldn't know. The thing I trip over is something on the ground. It sounds very much like a psychedelic experience, but it certainly wasn't. And as I said before, it's an experience that I'm profoundly grateful for. Not only for the fact of what one has learnt about the earth, the heavenly realms, but also what we've learnt on how to apply the information to our daily life. That, for me, has been the absolute key to this whole experience. Taking what one has learnt, both knowledge and experience, and now applied it to our daily life to make life a better place for ourselves and for the, you know, for the people whom we love.
So take us through some of the other earthly realms before we think about applying this to everyday life. So you go, you have your life review, then you get your coat that determines kind of where you're headed on your path in the heavenly realms, right? Oh, no, you go to heal maybe first.
If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show. If you're already supporting the show, there aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. Please subscribe to my newsletter, dramyrobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support.
Where would I start with that? Let me take you to a place where I was taken to one of the nether regions, a not so nice place. So if you can picture like a burnt bushfire type landscape, and you know, the smell and the acrid smell there, and I'm with a guide, and we walk through this area, and there's this huge portal, and we enter this portal, and there were these angelic beings standing there. But in this place were these vortices, spinning vortexes of power, and it was the feeling was quite horrible. And I turned to the guide and said, "What is this place?" And in each vortex were these souls that were entrapped in this spinning vortex of power. And I turned to this guide and said, "This is a horrible place. What is this?" And what was described to me is souls. This is not God's judgment, not hell on, you know, in not hell, but rather souls are entrapped by choice. Think of the seven deadly sins: greed, wrath, gluttony. Those, and I can't remember the others, but they. That souls are entrapped within these power vortices until they are able to be contrite, to repent, to say, I'm sorry. And that releases them from the burdens of these burdens of choice. And these angelic beings were there to, as soon as a soul was able to be contrite and to repent, these angelic beings that were, they were like angels in waiting, and they took the souls away to other parts of the heavenly realms. But that was one of that I called them the nether regions, and that was one of the more heinous places that I saw. And it looked, quite frankly, if that knowledge does not turn one away from errant paths in our earthly realm, I don't know what will.
Hell, or a version of hell.
Yes. That was the most profound. Well, we call it to a terrible comes to mind, but it was not a nice place to be. But to know that it was not God's wrath or judgment, that did not exist. This is not a place of, you know, God being judge and jury upon us. Not at all. I did not see that at all. The heavenly realms are love. Everything is love. Never an absence of.
So this experience in this vortex world was more one's own ability to recognize one's wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. That's exactly how it was. Yes. And as I mentioned, never an absence of love. The angelic hosts are there waiting for us to take us, you know, to embrace us with the love that abounds.
So was your experience of that realm that those who were there was a fear, or there is no fear? That's a human trait, fear.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the laws that I learnt is the number one law is fear not. You are never without the love of the Father. And by the word Father, of course, I mean the whatever God or Krishna or Jesus, whoever, the
source
male or female,
or universal, sort of this universal love energy.
Yes, perfect description. Yes, so there's never an absence of that love, but fear holds us back from that realization.
Mm-hmm. So these vortices of souls, once they recognize and say, I'm sorry for what I did, or I did wrong, or whatever it was, then they become clear again, like the souls that were on the lounge chairs. They're like all healed.
Yeah, it's a good question. I did not see that. No, it just releases them. They were released from the burdens of this, the power of what had entrapped them. But as I understand it, it's not a cleansing of sins. You're not washed away of sins. You still had to go to reveal the consequences of your earthly life. But it took this contrition took them out of the class of this power.
Okay, and then what happens? Like this is fascinating to me, because it literally feels like you are walking us through this experience, but yet we're not human, so we're not literally moving through. It's just these beings of energy.
Yes. One of the other profound things that I learnt, and again is through one of the laws, it says the judgment of heaven is neither vindictive or eternal, but probationary and remedial. Now, to me, that law says this concept that many of us are brought up with is that we, you know, depending on what we do in life, we either go into the heavenly realms or we go into a hellfire.
Which is a very religious way of looking at things, right?
Yes, it is. And to me, it is just not the way heaven works. We continue to evolve through the heavenly into the heavenly realms, by virtue of choice. The main character whose eyes through whom I'm seeing did exactly that. He was able to forgive others for what had happened to him in his life. And by way of background, this particular character through whose eyes I'm seeing, in his life as a child, he was abused under the auspices of the clergy. And later on in his life, he took his own life. But by virtue of his ability to forgive others, released him through and up into the heavenly realms. So he was stuck in this purgatory by virtue of his the anger and the shame and the guilt that he felt. He could not see the light that was there waiting for him. But when he was able to forgive himself and others, that released him into the heavenly realms. And he was the one that took me on this journey.
So when you say choice, you have a choice. Did you see in your mind's eye the experience of a choice to stay in the heavenly realms, return to a physical body? How did that whole part work?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, Amy. Throughout the entirety of the book, I did not see there was no reference to reincarnation of the soul. None. Mind you, I'm a firm believer in that, but I did not see that in the book. What I saw was the connection between heaven and earth. Let me explain. What I know and what I was shown is that everybody has a guardian angel there looking after us, tending us there.
One or multiple?
Oh, I saw multiple. So in what I saw, there were two. But there might be more, but I saw two. I was actually taken to a school where guardian angels are taught to be guardian angels, if that makes sense.
So what are they before they're guardian angels?
Souls with a special capacity for love. But they had to learn how to do the things that guardian angels do. But for us on Earth, what I now know that we are never disconnected from this angelic host. They are at our beck and call whenever we need. What is remiss on our part is we don't listen. We don't tune in. We don't ask. So one of the profound things that I now know and do is if there's some challenges going on in life, I'll ask for help. Meditate, connect in, tune in, know that they are there. Ask profound constructive questions that enable the information to come through.
So you said that there were lessons of these sort of universal lessons that you were shown that shift and change how you live. What are some of those and how do we incorporate them? I mean, it sounds like guardian angels is one of them, that our guardian angels are always there, are always with us. Sounds like forgiveness is probably another one.
Correct.
Particularly forgiving ourselves, for maybe forgiving those who have hurt us here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me give you an actual experience, Amy, that occurred this year. In April of this year, I lost my beautiful mother. Now she was she's in her 80s, and it was a bit of a surprise to us all. But she was such a beautiful. She was an angelic being. She gave guidance and light to so many people. And from this being's point of view, her son's point of view, ever since I can remember as a boy, I thought, Mum, when you go, I'm not staying. This life is too difficult. It's too hard. I want to go where you go. But, you know, what's happened since with the knowledge I've gained from the writing of this, the writing of this book has now become experiential. And let me explain that. I because I know exactly where she's gone, the level where she's at. I know exactly where to find her in the heart. And I know she's always there, or I know how to contact her, tune in. So for me, she's more powerful now than she ever was. By virtue of the knowledge and the experience, I'm able, you know, yes, there's grief. I feel grief for her not being here in the physical. But the grief has become empowering. It says, Stephen, go forward. I'm with you all the time. Mm. The love is that bridge, no separation. That love is the ultimate, you know, the intimate, ultimate connection. So I am here whenever you need, ask, and you will receive. So that alone is worth $1 million in experience.
But how do you know what realm she's at? Have you been able to tap in and see that? And now do you feel like your psychic senses are more open so you're able to tap into things more clearly?
Oh, yes. What I'm aware of, and remember you're talking to an imperfect being. I'm still learning how to live life in its profundity. But I now know, and I know what's coming in the foreseeable future. I'm not exactly sure when, but I know it's close. There is more to be shown. I'm going to be shown higher levels, higher realms. I was taken to a certain level of divinity, if you will, but I'm certain there's more. So watch out in the new year. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some more revelations, shall we say. I don't know what shape or form they're going to take, but I know they're there.
So in your everyday life, are you experiencing these spiritual awakenings daily, like where you're just getting this information? And how has this shifted and changed? How, I mean, this sounds like it would have turned your whole world upside down. Like suddenly you're seeing heavenly realms and understanding everything differently. And I mean, I know that you were teaching a lot of this before, but it really took shape in a different way.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is, I wouldn't say I'm more in tune, but I'm, put it another way, I more tune in. Whereas before one would, I'm in trouble, please help. So you're calling out for assistance when you think you need it. Now I tune in every day. Now, yeah, whenever I do things, I tune in, I listen, and listen for that intuition and ask I mentioned it before, a constructive question. What do I do with this? How do I fix such and such? Where do I go? Because what I know is that I will always get an answer. And you know, like I, that you get that intuitive feeling, I've got it. Oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. I know. Or maybe it's quiet. Maybe there's nothing there. But you wait. It will be there. The answer will come.
So when you finished the book, was it just like, I'm just envisioning every day you feel this intuitive pull to write this book. You sit down to write it. Your mind's eye opens. Boom. Suddenly you're in these various realms, almost like a dollhouse, I'm imagining. Like you're going through this dollhouse kind of. You're seeing all these things, and then you just get up from your computer, leave, and then it goes away. And then the next day you sit back down, boom, it opens again, and you keep going through these spaces.
Oh, that's a very interesting question. What I did was when I, like, I would get, when writing the book, I would get up in the morning and, you know, like, we've all got stuff to do, you know, things to, business or whatever it might be. But I would say to Spirit directly, okay, at 1 o'clock you're on and you've got 2 hours. It's because I'm, very precise. That's what I did. So at 1 o'clock I would sit. Now, it was like, remember, then I create a bubble around me, like the cone of silence in Get Smart. No interruptions, nothing that beeps and buzzes at you. Turn off emails and that sort of rubbish. And I would trust implicitly that whatever was to come would be there. That was important. I knew that it would be. I never knew what it was. I knew, like, the stage in the book that I'd got to, but I never knew it was coming. I had no idea. But I trusted implicitly that it would be there. And it always was, always. And then I would, you'd sit there, have a cup of tea and go, oh, got it, oh, and then start to write and start to transcribe. That's how it
is. So let me guess another universal law, trust.
Let me pick one that is of the most profound. Number 12, to know that you are sacred is not to see new things in you, but to see yourself as you really are.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is next level profound. And you just heard this. Like, this is the information you just heard.
Well, that was all these laws were embedded in the book. I hadn't, as I mentioned before, I read this thing 100 times. I didn't recognize them. But I got this, that message, read it again. And that's what I found. It was like reading it with the highlighter pen. You know, I saw them. They jumped out at me.
The pieces.
Jumped out at me. And then I copied them out.
So as you were writing it, it did not feel profound. But then when you were getting those messages of you need to go back, you need to pull out these profound lessons, that's when you were like, holy cow.
Holy cow is a good description.
See, I think you're way too humble.
Thank you. It's a very interesting thing.
Beautiful. I don't know that you could be too humble. I say that tongue in cheek, but like, I just am so moved by what you said, by how profound your experience was. And it's just unbelievable to me.
Well, the thing is, see, now, I mentioned before that this book and these other things are totally empowering. I get to talk to really lovely people on podcasts and things. I get to experience life with a wider perspective. Before, with limitations of what one believed in and what one thought was right, that perspective is now much wider. The love that one experiences with kin and family and others is an intoxication. It becomes, it's far more profound. So if that's not a gift, I don't know what is. And I'm just, look, honestly, I see most, yes, maybe, thank you for calling me modest, but I'm just a messenger boy. I'll tell my story as best I can. And if this is a ripple effect, I tell you and you tell many, and the between us we make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, wow. I wasn't sure what to expect today. I wasn't expecting this, but it was fantastic. So thank you so much. Your book, The Afterlife, A Journey To, which, by the way, is fiction. So I tried to non-fictionalize it a little bit when we spoke through all of this today, is out now. Here it is, if you're watching on YouTube. Tell us where we can find you if people are interested. And thank you for your patience work through a little bit of some technical stuff.
The best place is via my website, which is Stephen with a PH, stephenchong.com.au. You'll find me there and people can drop me an email, ask questions. The book is, of course, available on all the book deposit, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those, so they can tune in and get the book there. But on my website, if they just go to stephenchong.com.au/downloads, the Laws of Heaven and There are available, so they can download them free, no problem. Just download the laws and you'll have them there to infiltrate into making life a far better place.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your patience in this technical. We had some technical glitches because Stephen's in the middle of a cyclone, so we've got that going on. A vortex of sorts, eventually, right?
Well, our timing's pretty good, Amy, because whilst it is eerily silent outside my window now, scarily silent. So maybe because normally we have all birds and animals and things twitting away. It is quiet.
Well, I hope that you stay safe and that everything is okay over there.
Fantastic.
Down under.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.